Welcome to Always On, 30 Years of Yes, a Jam Remembrance Project. This is Jovan Julien, the Storytelling and Alignment Coordinator at Yes. As would be expected of any 30-year-old, Yes has been through a series of transitions, evolutions, changes, and growth, culminating in the current era of Yes, the Jamily that we have today. On this show and throughout the project, we'll be slowing down to remember and hear a story from throughout that history. We hope that you'll continue to join us as we slow down with founders, former and present staff members, Jamily, and others who have shaped and been shaped by and continue to say yes to this profound experiment in community. I'm really grateful today to be joined by the 2020 Northeast Jam team. Northeast Changemakers Jam, is that right? Yes, yeah. The Northeast Changemakers Jam. These folks are currently the last jam to have taken place before the COVID pandemic caused a shift in schedules. And while we have a number of jams that are slated for the future and are temporarily unscheduled, they don't have a specific date, I have the wonderful opportunity to talk to a team that came together, that jammed, and that also dealt with the emergence of COVID-19 in the Northeast and Massachusetts at the time, and really have an incredible story about what it means to jam, what it means to jam in moments of struggle, in moments of joy, and how we get through it together. I'm going to give each of them a moment to introduce themselves, and then we'll share a little bit about what that moment was, how it transpired, and how the team grew together.
Okay. I'm Heather Ferran. I live in Portland, Maine, and I started jamming in 2007 with a Leveraging Privilege for Social Change jam, and then again in 2010. And from there, was on the Northeast Jam team when it first started. Have been involved with that going forward, and then also with the Education Transformation Jam when that first started. And then also supporting the Gales Jam up in Nova Scotia. Pass it to Noor.
So my name is Noor. I'm from Casablanca, Morocco, but currently live in Western Mass. My first jam was the 2012 Middle East Youth Leadership Jam. And after that, I helped co-organize and facilitate it all the way up to 2018. I've also done one Morocco jam and the Northeast jam in 2020. And I worked mostly in the human services field, informal education, human rights, youth development, and a few other things. I'll pass it on to Sarah.
Awesome. Hi, I'm Sarah Brightboard, currently living in Portland, Maine. I first started jamming in 2015 at the North America Leadership Jam, and then joined that facilitation team the following year and have been facilitating that and organizing with that team since then. Was also part of organizing the so far one and only New York City Jam. Went to the 2018 Northeast Jam and then joined the team this past October for the 2020 Jam. And am trying to root more and more in the Northeast as I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. So, Jose, pass to you.
Hello, all. My name is Jose Cortez. I am currently the least experienced jammer on this team. I went to my first jam in 2017. That was the Arts and Social Change Jam in Santa Cruz. And then I also went to the 2018 Northeast Jam. And then I want to say it was early 2019. Jen and Daniel, two of our organizers, invited me to be on the organizing team, and that evolved into me being on the participant slash, wait, excuse me, the facilitant role that I'm in now. Yeah.
jump in a little bit. Could one of you share a little bit about the history of the Northeast Jam and this team in particular? I believe it was your first time working together in this particular formation.
Yeah, thanks, Jovan. Yeah, so this was the fourth ever Northeast Jam. And the Jam, the North, to do the history of the Jam first, and then this team, which I think is sort of mirrors it in some way. The Northeast Jam was started by a group primarily of education and home jammers, so the Healing Our Movement ecosystem jammers, which I think is like a powerful combination that it was started by educators and folks that are like focused on land and climate change. I think to then create a regional jam that is really grounded in like connecting activists, change makers, educators, people working in like social change in the social change world, if you will, here in the Northeast together. There's something I think that's like deeply rooted in that combination of things. And the jam really grew out of, I think, a desire to explore both like the very real like privilege that exists in the Northeast, with all of its, you know, with all of its like elite institutions and colleges and all of that, with like the very real lived experience of like a real diverse spectrum of people that live here, both in the sense of like rural communities that are here, the Northeast being a hub for like immigration for years is also like, you know, the roots of colonialism in this country. And so there's so many layers to this region to work through and to digest and to unpack, as well as really thinking about the Northeast as a space to then do change work in like collectively across those different areas, which is really powerful. And this team, like this group of four, is actually one part of like a broader group of organizers as well. And so this facilitation team came together 3 weeks? 3 weeks before, 3 weeks before the jam actually started. And I think like because of the ways in which like our broader organizing team, different like sh parental responsibilities shifted ability to facilitate. And so I joined in October, and Noor joined 3 weeks before the jam, to like really, I think to, oh, I'm starting to ramble, sorry. I think to build out, I think a powerful base of like, who is in this region? And yeah, who is in this region, and who makes up the places that, yeah, that we live in and that we all come from. And so yeah, and Noor brought a lot of his like jam experience and his global jam experience onto the team. Jose, like with his youth and his art and his experience, and Heather really with this like the deep sort of grounding of our team. Yeah, and myself, I know, and myself, I think joining as someone who's like really trying to like build roots here, and connect to change work here. So.
Thanks so much, Sarah, for sharing about the team and also about the jam. This next question is short in words, but I know is pregnant in meaning. What unfolded at the jam for you all?
All right, so I'm gonna try to talk about what unfolded at the jam. And I just want to preface that by saying that mostly what unfolded at the jam is that people jammed. There was sessions, there was one-on-ones, there was big group moments, there was support, there was difficult moments, vulnerability. If you're familiar with the jam, if you've been to other jam, that was mostly what it was. And I'm saying that because I'm feeling like we're talking about this in the specific moment where the jam happened, and wanting to highlight some of the moments where the pandemic came into play, and also want to be careful not to frame it as like it was all about the pandemic. It was, for the most part, a great jam. And in addition to that, we did have a jam during the week in this region where things like got really serious and snowballed to a different state. literally our first day of the jam. People arrived. It was great. I think we were also aware of the circumstances we're coming into and had written to people about being safe and about coming together and also taking care of ourselves. And so people were coming into that and feeling each other out and welcoming people in. And and that night, while we were doing our opening check-in, came the news that the state of Massachusetts, the governor, declared a state of emergency. And so that was one of the things that kind of set the tone for us as a team during this jam, where we are going to go with the program, with what we're offering, with the co-creation with the community. And at the same time, like from night one, we brought it into the circle. Here's what happens. We create some space for this to see where people are at. And then continue with our check-ins and see where people need a moment, if people need can go on, which is what ended up happening. And I think throughout the jam, that was sort of the theme, is that we had the intention to be really transparent and made it very clear we're going to keep people informed of what's happening in the world outside of our jam, and at the same time maintaining the intention of all of the intentions that we post on the wall of the work that we came to do. And so there was very beautiful moments where people shared about things that had nothing to do with pandemic, and also very beautiful and real moments where the circumstances outside were serious and were real and were present, both knowing that, for example, we had someone who was sick and was isolating themselves much more. We also had two families at the jam with kids, and so we were very aware of the extra caution we needed to have at the jam. And we built that throughout the few days we had together. So I think for me, what happened is we had a really great jam, and added to it was a little bit of extra awareness and extra stress of things that are happening outside that we have no control over. And at the same time, that doesn't mean we're going to delete them and be in denial and just go on, but like we presenced that and just dealt with it as it came. And I think that showed up in very beautiful ways in the ways that we tried to support the community and the community tried to support us as a team and just participants with each other. Yeah, that's what I think.
I'll just add that I think the line that I feel like we use to introduce the jam a lot in even the welcome is like the jam isn't a retreat from the world. It's like a place to meet the world together and in slowness. And I feel like this was like the ultimate version of that for me. Like, you know, those aren't just words. Those are that's really how we were trying to hold like all of the context that was meeting us within this jam, and also trying to bring, you know, so like really needing to kind of like keep opening up the bubble of, you know, so that it didn't feel like a retreat, that it did feel like that world was permeable and news was coming in, and knowing that would have an impact on what we were building with the group there together, and knowing that was real.
Sounds like, and I'm grateful to hear that it was a jam. Certainly the context may have been different, that there was a different world context, and every jam itself has a world context. It has a universe that we're dealing with. And so I'm grateful that you are able to have that jam with each other. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about what support looked like for each other and for the community at the jam. Certainly holding what you said, Nur, that it's not so much that this particular jam was very different than other jams, just that I think in talking about this one, it helps to highlight what a jam actually is, because that's often a question.
Yeah, thinking about some of the stuff that was unfolding that I saw in other jams, there was definitely a lot of emphasis on asking for what folks needed. And so I know in many out-breath sessions, I would like walk into our like main meeting space and see a bunch of different like massage chains rolling around, and definitely a lot of people who were taking the walks that they needed in order to like clear their mind in between heavy sessions. And yeah, certainly for myself, there was like a couple of moments of just like really trying to intentionally be one-on-one with a person and sort of unloading in that way. I know that we had a few participants that were Black women, like they identify as Black women, and they very much like supported one another in the way that they knew that they needed that sort of support. And so it was really good to just see people like pretty much gravitate to who they needed to in the moment. And yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah, and I think it felt like because our team had come together so like relatively close, I mean, not even relatively close, I got together so close to the jam. I think some of our like culture of support, we started building, like we did a day mini jam together as a facilitant team beforehand. And I feel like that, like that was so critical for us to like really drop in and deep dive together to lay our foundations of support and our intentions for supporting each other coming into the jam. And it felt like, you know, like to me, it felt like there were just these like unfolding pieces of news that kept like deepening from the outside. And that like our first task was to like hold space for the four of us together to be able to like bring ourselves back. Like, you know, for me to bring myself back from panic into stretch, and then for the four of us to be able to bring ourselves back from panic into stretch, and then to be able to share information with cool. Yeah. So just like felt like these layers of kind of like slowing down to give, just this like continued cycle of like panic rising again, and then like working back into stretch and panic rising again and working back into stretch. And like, I think Jose, you're totally right. It felt like that the like comfort zone piece also, like people finding their comfort and their place of comfort, and then like working back to a place of stretch from there. Like I felt like the comfort zone also felt really important to me during this jam, of like each person finding that. And I think there were challenges with that too, because it felt like, you know, I feel like the four of us worked really hard to support each other in order to be really present for sessions, and to like knowing that like everything got thrown off. You know, we were in the flow from like the first, you know, we were in the first flow from the first 15 minutes. So we were kind of like constantly checking in and constantly trying to ground. And I think that meant that we were able to show up really presently in sessions. And I think also it meant that, you know, also because we were like a smaller team for a relatively bigger jam, that the amount of support we were able to give to folks outside of sessions wasn't as much as I would have wanted. And I felt like I didn't get to drop in with people one-on-one as much, because there was a lot of just like trying to figure out how to like reground with new information in order to come into a session and like hold space. Yeah.
Hearing you talk about like us cycling ourselves from panic back to stretch individually, and then as a team, I'm realizing that like as the four of us, like we were doing a jam within a jam, I think really like I would say really constantly, like through the whole like 4 or 5 days with one another. Yeah. Oof.
The jam within a jam. I do think an ongoing saying in the jam I've heard is, as so goes the team, so goes the jam. And I think that sounds like what you're describing here, that y'all were really focused on what happened with your team as facilitants and making sure that you all, when you fell into panic, could quickly have the tools to bring yourselves back into stretch and comfort. And that was a lot of what the larger cycle was too. That feels like a really key learning that y'all are naming inside of how the comfort zone showed up at your jam. I'm wondering if there are other sort of specific key learnings or insights that y'all are holding on to, either just as what you learned from this particular jam or what you hope to carry forward into future Northeast jams.
Personally, this being my first time facilitating a jam in any capacity, I just now know that facilitating is work. Like, you know, I'm used to being at jams and very much like enjoying every aspect in terms of not really having any set responsibility. But now that I've stepped into this facilitator role, I have like a newfound and very much more deepened appreciation for the facilitant role and how there is like that balance that has to be like worked on the whole time with like participating in the session while at the same time making sure that the facilitator, like speaking from the eye, making sure that I know that I know what I need to do in order to make the session run smoothly, while at the same time having to check in with my own emotions that come up during different exercises. And so, yeah, balance, I want to say, it was a very key learning.
I think for me, there was a key learning about like the jam, this jam being held in this web of wider jam, like both timeline, like history of jamming, and then also like the web of jams happening now. And partly because this team was able to come together with shared language and shared experience from, like, you know, very different contexts that we'd been working in, you know, the North America Jam and the Middle East Jam and the Arts for Social Change Jam and the Education Jam, but to have shared language and be able to like dive deep in our trust really quickly. And then also, like, I think for me, I felt this, you know, I felt this dropping in of all of the things from mentors that people have been played mentor roles for me in my life, you know, hearing Austin's voice, hearing Shilpa's voice, you know, reminding me of tools like, you know, the power of water to clear myself energetically, or, you know, different grounding tools, different ways. I felt like I was drawing on everything I had in order to like bring myself and support myself to be in stretch. And I felt like I was drawing on the history of that jam and drawing on this whole web of the jam that's existed.
I think for me, one of the key learnings that I'm taking away with me forward from this jam has to do with how to deal with the multiplicity of needs. I think that exists in every jam, and especially in this jam with the circumstances we had, there were multiple moments where people needed different things in the moment. And I felt like this desire within me and this responsibility to meet everyone's need. And at the same time, an understanding and knowing that that's not always possible. And so there was a lot of practice of like letting go of that expectation to meet every single need and knowing that I can't always do that. And what I can do, focus on what I can do, is work with my co-facilitants in seeing where we can go in the moment, what is coming up and how we can meet it. And also truly believing that other needs will have their own time. Other needs will come out if we have the space for them. And I think that showed up later in the jam where other people that maybe didn't have the chance to go to have a time in the circle earlier in the jam, and just the work that we did and the planning and the extra care of planning sessions with different people in mind and with different needs in mind and what offerings we can have to bring everyone into the circle, both the people that are like happy and ready to jump in and take the space and really do the work. And also the people that have a harder time traditionally or culturally of really grabbing the reins of that space and needing much more slowness than others to really drop in and do that. And I think I felt that harder early in the jam, but I think with the work we did, it became better and better as we moved on.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, I would echo all the other three learnings for sure. And Nor really like sitting with the how to meet multiple needs and how do jams meet multiple needs, particularly when like those needs like align, like not align, but are like connected to identity also, and how like identity and power show up in those needs and in naming those needs and in meeting those needs within like the jam and the community that we're building. And I think one of the things for me that I'm taking away from this that has always been a jam practice, but one that I've struggled to step into, is really like checking my assumptions of like dynamics that I'm feeling or seeing, of relationship dynamics, or concerns that I'm feeling, that for me are sometimes a battle with my inner critic, but to actually just like be in the moment and be present with them and check them and check those assumptions with the person. And I think that there's actually something about how unknown and like intense the outside world was like with the pandemic and the panic that brought up in me, quite honestly, at different times in the jam, that the one area that I could control was this specific present moment with those dynamics that I was sensing, and to like ask and explore them. And so I think in some ways that recognizing that was actually a place that I had control and power over called me to do that work of checking assumptions that the jam often asks, it like invites us, right, to do, and invites me to do, to like slow down and be in that. And some of my deepest personal work and also interpersonal work happened like in doing that multiple times. So
thanks so much for those y'all. And I hope that those learnings that each of you shared from the space of an eye might help others to reach learnings that might be helpful for themselves too. I know for myself, certainly I'm holding on to each of those, and I'm certain that as they come up in my life, they'll percolate a little more smoothly, knowing that there's a path that y'all have drawn for how I could possibly think about them. I'm wondering if there were any moments of fear that y'all had, and how did you meet those moments, either personally or as a team, and how did you see yourself through that moment to the other side?
Yeah, I feel like with the information coming in from the outside world, that there were a lot of moments of fear and a lot of moments of trying to assess like what was perceived risk, what was actual risk, you know, when the state of emergency was declared, trying to understand that what that meant, and sort of ground in what that actually meant versus the perception of what that meant. And then also, I think through the course of the jam, then, you know, we were wondering, are there going to be travel restrictions? You know, are folks going to be able to leave here? What's, you know, receiving information from the site also. So for me, it wasn't any one particular moment of fear, but it was sort of just this feeling of like, anytime we check the news, there's a new, or, you know, anytime I checked in with someone from home, like them having a new piece of information to be adding in that would sort of spike my panic and then need to figure out how to cycle back. And I feel like one of the things that evolved over the course of the jam, which feels true of jamming and just felt so necessary in this particular jam, was the like expanding ability to ask for, like I think we were saying before, to ask for support and also to offer support. And and for people to check in, like, I know we did an exercise, maybe 3 days into the jam, a support systems mapping exercise. And it felt like that was, and it was such a rich session because it gave us the space to talk about, support systems within the jam and, how to seek support within the jam from each other, and also the space to think about, like, start thinking about transitioning home maybe a little bit earlier than we might have done that before, but starting to lay that foundation, because there was, like, that was just such a piece to be thinking about even earlier than we might start thinking about transition beforehand. And so I think for me in that particular moment, it brought up, it just helped to kind of, it helped me to think about, how to take what was happening and the support that was being built in the jam and how to bring that home with intention and with clarity, in order to ask for what I needed when I got home, which I think then was really, it was helpful to be able to kind of keep meeting moments of fear in the jam and keep returning to grounding in those. Just, it felt very like cyclical over and over and over again through the course of the jam.
I want to invite us all, certainly if other folks have answers, to continue sharing, but also just to take a deep breath, maybe shake loose some of the energy. I can feel some of, yeah, I don't know. I think I can feel some tension and some other things resting on me and maybe on us.
Teleport him back into some gem stress in our bodies. Yeah, thanks, Jovan. That's a good invitation.
I can see, Sarah, on your face, you're carrying it. I was like, no, I'm dragging you back. Thank you for coming here with me. I think it's informative. And yes.
No, yeah, no, thank you. I was definitely getting transported like back, and back into like one particular conversation that we had, with like our full group, which is when we sort of, I think collectively sort of had a panic moment all together with the virus. And I, like, in it, it felt like it in that moment, in parts of the moments, it felt like I was saying things that I needed to get out of me, like, so that I could be present. And it felt like that's what other people were doing. And then also, though, like, I, looking back on it now, it was actually just like naming panic and like naming what was like naming my panic and having other people name their panic. But the naming it didn't move me back into stretch. And I don't think that like collectively it moved us back into a place of stretch, as a full container. And that was then also when multiple needs started getting named. And I think because there was still like collective panic, we like weren't able to like listen to that and like slow it down to hear that. So it's funny, like my moment of fear, that like came was from that place of just like, so often for me, just getting it out and speaking the truth of what is my panic helps me come back into stretch. But like, in this corona, like it within the like pandemic, that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough for me. And I don't think that was enough for us in that space. And like the required like real slowdown to ground, back in to stretch, back into my body. Yes, Jovan, to breathe and to shake and to do all of that. Was like really real, and was the first time that like I experienced seeing like panic triggering panic without the move fully back, like without actually moving through that panic. It just was like firing. Yeah.
How did y'all make it through that as a team, as a group, as a jam?
I think it goes back to maybe what I had mentioned earlier, is that we acknowledged that first, immediately after it happened. And I think that moment is when we moved more directly into planning for multiple needs, as I was saying. I think that's how we met that, because that conversation, one of the things about it that maybe didn't help is it was sort of like a size fits all tool or space or opening for sharing, and that maybe not everyone found the same healing and the same opportunity in that space. And I think once that happened, like other people who even were happy to step in into the space also started feeling like the space is not as welcoming, because people were needed different ways to meet that moment and to express and to share. And I think how we met it is that we just totally acknowledged it and started focusing on how we can help each person in the way that they need to be helped.
I think there was also, for me, like a letting go of it needing to be us as facilitants creating exactly what everybody else needed, right? Like, which to me, I think was part of what was powerful about doing the support systems mapping exercise, and also about asking people to, like, through the process of the jam, asking each of us to name our needs and also to seek out care in the way that each of us needed care. It felt like we were able to try to offer, you know, different ways of processing, different, you know, whether it was, I mean, like facilitation, just like different pairs, big group, small group, slowing down, you know, creative time, all sorts of things. And there was also a level of trusting that folks were going to find what they needed to do in that time. And I think there were a lot of ways where that was actually happening and did happen.
Yeah. Are there any other types of support that feel really important to share and that helped you all and the community move through the jam?
Yeah, I want to give a major shout out to our hosts at Woman Hill. They were just so incredible in meeting us, like where we were as a jam, like on their space, while like trying to also hold like their responsibility as like the site host and like their responsibility to the communities around them and to their families. And like, we like finally were able to like slow down and have a conversation. And it was, they were really seeking just to like see us and to like understand what we were doing and how we were meeting this moment. And they wanted us to see them. And so for me, like to be able to have that conversation and to like engage with sort of the outside world for the first time in this moment, like explicitly about how to be and how to respond in this pandemic together, was just so powerful to be met in a very jammy, very slow way with folks that were not in the jam. And so it was like I just have like all of the respect and admiration and like deep gratitude for Woman Hill for the ways that they met us in that moment and really trusted us to be caring for ourselves and to be caring for the space in this moment. And like not exerting new policies and things like that, that they had come up with while we were jamming, like onto us after the fact, and really honoring our initial agreement of how to be in that space with one another. So it was just really, really powerful and a really incredible way for like us at the jam to meet like the outside world in that moment.
And I just want to add, just as we move towards finishing the jam, we had a participant who was sick during the jam and had been social distancing, which now feels normal and at the time felt so not sort of the norm in a jam. And she really kept bringing in, like, I feel like I can be present. I feel like I can share love from where I am, and was sharing her experience about that throughout. And then offered at the very end for us to close, not in like a big cluster, you know, closing the Northeast Jam, but instead moving to 6 feet and making eye contact and sharing connection from that distance and sort of inviting all of us into that experience. So it was a way of moving from this space that we'd had together that in some ways was kind of a retreat space within this larger world into the outside world, knowing that we could still hold the fullness of all of the emotion and care that we had for each other.
I just wanted to share a lot of gratitude. I think in each of these podcast episodes, there's been a moment of sharing the challenges of what it means to, in particular, to facilitate a jam. I think one thing that I have been learning and that I heard here and continue to hold on to is that we don't have to be perfect in every moment, and that it has to be the arc that we look at, that there can be individual moments or even a whole session or a whole day that might feel like a failure. Sometimes it's a whole event even. And I think that's true for me, not just in the jams, but in life. And there's something important to an arc. How do we respond to a moment? How do we transform ourselves? How do we evolve? How do we use the lessons from one moment to meet the next? And what I'm hearing and have heard throughout this conversation is that y'all, as a part of the jam that you held together, had to continually be in this evolutionary process. You know, that when you landed as a new team, and there was a moment to like even dive deep to change the present form and to have a whole day mini jam to be able to land with each other. And that helped support you in the future moments. And so I'm hearing that also as y'all speak about this moment when multiple needs were being named and maybe everything wasn't met at the time, but that you took that and were able to evolve what you would have done in the future, that you took the tentative schedule and you adjusted and shifted it so that more needs could be met in the space. And so I'm really grateful, not just for the sharing of that lesson and how you met it, but also in the naming that, like, we are not creating some perfect utopian thing, yeah. Right? We are meeting the world in the jam, and that world is imperfect, and we are imperfect, and all that we could do is do our best and try our best and evolve as we meet and get new information and be open to it and to be open to slowing down. So I have a ton of gratitude for that. We're nearing the end of our time together, and for me, I know that one of the tools that I've learned can weave together a jam in ways that I don't even really understand its magic is Secret Angels.
If you haven't been to a jam, Secret Angels works in the following way. Each person chooses a name out of a hat at the beginning of the jam, and they are a secret angel to the person they've selected. They resource gifts to shower love and care upon their secret person from the surrounding area and the jam itself.
So I'm wondering if there were any particular moments of joy or beauty that secret angels brought into your space that feel possible to share without breaking confidentiality.
Yeah, I can definitely think of one, which happened during an evening session that Heather and I were leading together. And so what happened is Jen, one of our organizers, came to me and asked for my help for a secret angel presentation. And what she said is, a bunch of us are going to pretend that the phone is ringing. So just pick up your imaginary phone and go ring, 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 ring. And then the gift is going to go on. Don't worry about it. I was like, all right, sure, no problem. So that happened. Somebody had a banana as a phone, fingers, whatever, ring, ring, ring. And then the actual phone, I think Sarah was the switchboard operator on that one. Actual call goes in, and it's Austin and Shilpa, and it's a secret angel gift for me and Heather, and a beautiful song that Austin shared with us, which was so beautiful to start a session listening to Austin's voice, but also not just for me and Heather, but also to like bring that voice into the jam community on that particular moment was really beautiful, and it led to a really, really important and nice session afterwards. So really hold and cherish that moment with a lot of love and gratitude for Austin and Shilpa and Sarah and Jen and all the people that were there and Heather.
Yeah, I have to say that for me was that was a session that I was going into. I would say that before that session was the moment in the jam where I lost, probably I had like my bottom out faith moment of, I really, Jovan, in terms of what you were just saying, days that feel really, really hard and like, I don't know what's going to happen. And felt like I lost my grounding before that session. And Noor had said, oh, I have an instinct. And I was like, I trust you because I don't know what to do right now. And that was really scary for me before that. And so then to come into that session and get that secret angel gift at that moment of just the song literally being like, you're enough, basically. Yeah, it felt like a magical bolt of lightning bolting down onto that session and just giving a chance to remember this bigger context that we're operating in and these relationships that have taught me so much and yeah, really supporting and kind of calling forth, just showing up to be there in that moment without knowing what was going to happen.
It works, secret angel.
Thanks. Sarah was my secret angel.
Sarah and Jan.
Yeah. That was my favorite too. Well, no. I mean, there were a lot of really beautiful ones and a lot of really beautiful, yeah, like so like song singing and yeah, there was a lot of song which felt really beautiful. Yeah, and that one, yeah, at the time of the jam, because that was the night after that fear session for me. So
One of my favorite moments through the jam. I can't remember if this was exactly a secret angel presentation, but I know that as a community, we danced on the last night to a ballad by a man named Usher called Yeah. And I remember one moment in particular. Heather busted out the worm. And that's going to be forever ingrained. I need to like upload the photo still, but there's a photo of Heather like midworm. And yeah, it was just a beautiful moment. I can't remember if it was Secret Angel or not.
Well, I know I'm going to ask for you to upload that moment to me so that maybe it can serve as our title image for this episode. Yeah, I want to. I think secret angels are maybe one of my favorite things at the jam. And I have been angling all the time. At every jam that I'm at, I angle for us not to actually tell who the secret angels are. I just want to do this experiment and see what happens. But that being said, I think you all have been not secrets, but definitely angels and a gift to the jam, Malie, to myself, and to this podcast to share your stories, but not just to share the story, to have done the thing, to have stepped into it, not because you had to, not because you wanted to, but because those were the steps that were in front of you, and that's where the river had led you. So I'm grateful that y'all slowed down for this moment to dip into it, to share not just the beauty, I mean, all of it's beautiful, but to share both the struggle and the joy and the hope and the sadness and the fear and how all that mixes together. And I hope that this journey is helpful to those who, whether you're taking it as a former participant in a jam, whether you're meeting this as someone thinking about going to a jam or thinking about facilitating, that our conversation can help you ground in what are the things that can come up and how we meet them. I'm excited to continue this conversation with y'all offline. And if folks have anything that they want to share, any moments or lessons or key insights that feel pertinent, please contact me at jovan@yesworld.org for our next episode. With gratitude to each of you, I'm thankful for sharing story with you and for you remembering our past and sharing it forward. I hope you each have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Jovan.
Thank you.
composed and recorded by Austin Wilson.